everybody. Welcome back, King. This is episode 60. 60 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsoft is talking about. And in case you couldn't just tell from my lack of energy, I'm a little under the weather this week. And I think
I feel great.
Paul feels great. So we're going to lean on him, because normally I carry the show through fruition. But we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work for you. And one thing that we made it work from last week is people commented a little bit on some color issues
in our
cameras. Yeah,
I can't help it, but Laura and I, we thought we'd get into a bronzer fight.
Yes.
And
I won.
Tanning beds everywhere.
Hence my sunglasses and overly tan complexion. But I think we've got it fixed this week. So let's start the show.
Let's do it.
You had to have heard some of the biggest news coming out of Microsoft just last week. Two of our big executives, Jay Allard and Robbie Bach, have retired from Microsoft.
Yeah. Two of them have peaced.
Have peaced from the people known for launching Zune. Jay Allard, some people call the father of the Xbox and Xbox Live.
And the way that Microsoft embraced the internet back in, I think, 1995 or sometime in the early to mid-90s, he wrote this tidal wave memo about how the internet's coming and we have to embrace it.
He was
a fundamental shift inside Microsoft to change the culture to embrace the internet.
Did you talk about Jay Allard?
Yeah.
Obviously. I had my personal story with Jay Allard. Developed a huge crush on Jay Allard.
Is this after he shaved his head?
Yes, this is like right when he came out. Prior to the shaving of the head, slick outfit, Xbox Live guy, he actually was kind of frumpy. slightly overweight, and
had little patches
of hair. And then all of a sudden he got this makeover and became sexy Xbox Live Jay Allard. And I saw him give a presentation at an E3, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. No, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And I was like, who is that bald-headed man? I love him. Since then, I've had the pleasure of interviewing him and meeting him. He really is a cool guy. So it's sad to see him go. But, obviously, I'm sure he's moving on to do something amazing, and we'll find out about that soon.
He was actually one of my favorite executives here at Microsoft. I was part of a group called College Select, and he came in and talked with us and just motivated us. And one of the things I remember him saying was, Microsoft has, you know, X tens of billions of dollars of cash. I think he said that at the time we had like $20 or $30 billion in cash. And he's like, what are we going to do with that money? Give it back to shareholders? It's like, is that the best thing we can do? The first trip to the moon, someone spent, you know, $15 or $20 billion on. What's the next big idea that we can really embrace?
And
he just completely reframed all of our thinking to just say, think of like incredibly large ideas that might not just fit into the typical software space.
So I'm
really going to miss the guy.
A creative genius. I'm going to miss him too. And one more thing, I did run into him in Kirkland, just like a regular celeb here in Washington. And I asked to have my picture taken with him, and he was very gracious. And he's a good man, so I'll miss him. I'll miss bumping into him here in Washington, unless maybe he's staying local.
I don't know.
We'll find out, and we'll keep you posted. Good luck. And Robbie Bach, too.
All right, the internet is abuzz about everything DRM these days. People seem to not like DRM. In a previous episode of Ping, I talked about the benefits of DRM in enabling business models, and I think the Niners disagreed with me somewhat.
What were your points there?
The points are is that there are content publishers and there are content copyright owners that want to help ensure that there can be some type of channel for distribution where people aren't really where content creators aren't concerned about people pirating their content. And I think it's all about the ease of use for the end consumer. Not necessarily about the underlying technologies that are used. But if the underlying technologies that are used are bad, or they provide an inferior experience to the end customers, people are going to complain about it.
Right.
Or they're going to use
You don't want anything to get in the way of your viewing and make things more difficult for you.
Right. So there's an announcement recently where Netflix has decided to use Microsoft's PlayReady DRM technology for some of the embedded Netflix streaming devices that'll be coming out over the next few years.
So this makes sense. I mean, considering you can stream Netflix over your Xbox, that we have this sort of partnership.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm not sure what the underlying technology is inside the Xbox, the Wii, or the PS3, but some of these new devices that are coming out from third-party manufacturers will actually start licensing the Microsoft technology. So
it's called PlayReady.
PlayReady. Yeah, there used to be something called Ready Play, which was back in the days like pre-Zune. Yeah, it's kind of a confusing space. But
and we got so creative and called it PlayReady.
Yeah.
But, love it. What are you going to do? Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, so it'll be a good thing. I think it's a pretty solid technology. I think that a lot of people don't like DRM for because they really...
Possibly selfish reasons.
Right. But I would be curious to see if the Niners' opinion has changed about the benefits of DRM in this type of space.
Absolutely. Just on a side note, do you stream Netflix over...
All the time. I don't even have, like, regular TV. I only have Netflix on my Xbox 360.
Awesome. But you really should invest in regular TV as well.
No.
Dancing with the Stars alone.
Yeah, I can get that on Hulu.
Next. Paul, you familiar with Microsoft Home? H-O-H-M Home?
Yes. Home. Yeah, we've talked about it a few times on this,
okay.
this podcast.
We have. Okay. Well, now there's a website out there related to the home technology where you can go in and judge your home.
Ooh.
And it evaluates how you're using energy.
So people like come in with like a little clipboard and...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Instantly over the internet.
Nice.
No, you type in your address.
It's like home roulette.
Like chat roulette?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Oh.
I hear it's for bad, bad people. But anyway, you could go in, you type in your address, and it gives you a score for your home. I went in and I judged my home, and I got a 67, which is not so bueno, considering average homes in my neighborhood were scoring at about 57. So I need to go in.
Oh, so is the lower
the bad? Lower is the better number.
So it's like golf.
Yes, exactly. So I would not have birdied this one. I'm way over par. Okay?
Gotcha.
I got it. So it gives you, it's not just like, hey, you energy waster, just, you know, go off. It gives you ways you can go in and change some of the things you're doing and tips and suggestions for ways you can get your home energy number down. So I got to go in and do that. One of the things it's helping to do is I might have, I'm wasting a lot of money on heat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not
you really don't have a whole lot of body fat, so.
I don't, and I'm not from the frigid Pacific Northwest, so it's cold here. I need my heat on all the time. So I need to lessen my heat usage, and it says that I might have some cracks. I can go in and seal the cracks.
Well, what you can do...
Energy-efficient windows type things like that.
Instead of turning your heat on all the time, just, like, open up your oven or get, like, a bunch of space heaters.
I could just stick my head in the oven, save drying my hair. I don't even have to turn the blow dryer on.
Man, look at this.
There you go. I didn't think of that. Or I do like fires.
Yeah?
I do like fires, but I keep the heat on as well. So
I'm
an energy waster. Anyway, go there and get your own home judge. Most homes will come up on their site. There's a few if you live in some really weird locations. Obviously, anywhere outside of the U.S., sorry. But type in your address and it can give you your score and see if you can beat me at a 67.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if all the Niners actually
posted their home scores.
Yeah.
And yours, too.
Yeah.
Get on it.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay.
All right, Laura,
yes.
I am disappointed in myself in that
I'm disappointed in you, too!
The Halo Reach beta has come and gone, and I was not able to participate.
Were you not in the know?
No, I knew.
You knew.
I couldn't bring myself to play it because I would probably spend way too much time playing it instead of doing the
things. As though you have other more important things to do?
I have to read the stories for Ping.
This is true. Do the research. That takes you at least 30 seconds.
At least.
So you missed out.
I did.
But 2.7 billion. Million.
2.7 billion people out there.
Million. With an M. I misspoke, but I meant million. Didn't miss out.
I know.
And that's huge. Huge numbers.
They did die 1.1 billion times, though.
Well, that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
And I think the extreme leap from there was about 800,000 that people that joined the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah.
And... boom! Almost doubled.
Well, that's actually almost quadrupled, but, you know, who's counting?
It's quadrupled.
800?
Yeah. Again, I'm under the weather. A lot more people played this. But if you missed out, it's a bummer, but the game will be hitting store shelves
September 14th.
And there you go. Apparently, you know, 2.7 million beta testers can't be wrong.
Yeah.
So.
I'll pwn you all.
Quadrupled, really? All right, everybody, that is a wrap for this week. We're going to come back stronger and better, at least I will, next week. But before we go, I had to give you a little nugget of juicy goodness. And if you click the link to the right and take up this screenshot, you will see Bing is someone out there is creating doggy couture, doggy fashion. You can have your dog pimp the Bing decision engine while looking fashionable at the dog park. I love this stuff. This is the stuff that keeps me happy, keeps me coming back for more. And Paul, you have something interesting to say as well?
Yep, I was just in Vegas again this past weekend, and that reminds me that there are still a few videos from MMS that we have not shown.
Well, bring them up. Which one are we going to grace this week?
This is a quick interview with the founder and CEO of MyITForum.com.
All right, that's a wrap. See you next week. I'm in the throw. Bye.
All right, here we are in the partner booth with Rod Trent. Rod, can you give us a description of what you do?
What I do? I manage and support a large system center community called MyITForum.com. We've been in business, I guess, for like 10 years. Very successful community. We have between 80 and 90,000 unique visitors a day on the website.
And what do these people do when they come to your site?
Well, what they do is they come for content. We have articles, we have bloggers, we have forums, we actually have email lists. What they do is they participate and interact with each other. They support each other in a way that, you know, makes them feel comfortable about the products and, you know, comfortable within their current job situation.
Yeah, so they go there for like some community support if they have questions on things or forums.
Right, community support, forums. And in fact, we've been online for so long, we actually supported System Center before there was a System Center.
Nice.
Back in the dark days of SMS, which were the good old days, but we've kind of grown up along with the System Center products.
Excellent. What's your favorite part of MMS?
Favorite part of MMS? Well, it's interacting with the folks, but we have a Mighty Forum party every year. It's an annual party that we have, and I really enjoy that. We have about 500 people, community members that get together and, you know, have drinks and food, and we had a live band this year, which the band, one of the individuals in it, was a community member that we flew out here from Boston. So
that's awesome.
It was a good deal.
That's great. Hey, thanks for the time, Rob.
Well, thank you.